In 2 Kings 22, we read of when the book of the law, which once was thought lost, had now been found while repairs were being made to the temple. It was taken to Josiah king and read to him. After hearing its reading, he sent men to the prophetess Huldah to inquire of the Lord as to what should now be done. Huldah said to these men, "Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they will become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. And therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace, and your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. There would be no preventing the ruin of Jerusalem or Judah, for great was the sin of the nation against the Lord. But for Josiah, because of his heart was to follow God, he would not see the destruction that would come upon the nation. The Lord would remove him before his wrath was poured out. Josiah could not deliver his people, but through his obedience, his own soul would see God. He found that he could not sit by and live his life out without doing all that he could for his kingdom. It was his duty, not only as king, but as one who loved God and loved his people, and so he set out to prepare them for what was to come. He knew that whatever happened would happen because God willed it to be so. Josiah set about to engage the people in the most solemn manner to abolish their idolatry. He sought to remind them that they were to serve God in righteousness and true holiness. Our actions will bring about blessings or consequences, it is true, and we must confess and acknowledge what has been done, and then we accept that what comes to us is just in the eyes of God. Sin is formal in community. It is hypocritical. We dress ourselves as righteousness, but stain ourselves with mockery. And although much outward wickedness could be prevented, if we would only prepare the way of the Lord, they were, as we will be, accountable to God for our own conduct. The king proceeded to call together all the people of Judah from the least to the greatest, and in their hearing he read from the book of the law, and he renewed his commitment to the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul. He stood before the Lord and the people, who upon hearing, also in agreement, recommitted themselves to God. The work that the king had committed to and that the people had committed to did not stop there with the words that were spoken. No, the king set out to cleanse the land, cleanse the temple, and to encourage the people to cleanse their homes and their hearts of their idols. What they worshipped was not the God of Israel, but pagan gods, which had influenced their day-to-day lives and that they had come to accept as a part of their life without considering what it was that they had accepted and now entertained. Again it could be heard, that subtle whisper, did God really say? In Deuteronomy 12, verse 2, the Israelites were commanded to destroy completely all the places on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every green tree where the nations that you were disposing worship their gods. Tear down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn up their Asherah poles in the fire. Circumcise from your life anything that will cause you to be separated from God. Let there be no temptations to return to, as human nature will give us cause to seek a path familiar to us when the path we are on gets difficult. All idols needed to be purged from the land, from the people's eyes, and from their hearts. From 2 Kings, chapter 23. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kindrod Valley outside of Jerusalem, and he burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord, quarters where people did the weaving for Asherah. He desecrated Topheth, which was in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so that no one could use it to sacrifice their son or daughter in the fire of Moloch. He removed it from the entrance to the temple of the Lord, the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. They were in the court near the room of an official named Nathan Melech. Josiah then burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. He pulled down the altars the kings of Judah had erected on the roof near the upper room of Ahaz, and the altars Manasseh had built in the two courts of the temple of the Lord. He removed them from there, smashed them to pieces, and threw the rubble into the Kidron Valley. The king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south of the Hill of Corruption, the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the vile goddess of the Sidons, the Chemosh, the vile god of Moab, for Moloch, the detestable god of the people of Ammon. Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the sites with human bones. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah, because of all that Manasseh had done to arouse his anger. And so the Lord said, I will remove Judah also from my presence as I removed Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose, and this temple about which I have said, my name shall be there. The Israelites' propensity for idolatry was often fueled by the influence of surrounding pagan cultures. When parts of this belief and parts of another emerge, there is never a truth to what is being taught or learned. And out of weakness, such as today, the fusing of the culture into the church, it gives birth to a watering down of the truth as acceptance of falsehoods, leading to accommodations to tolerance and acceptance, but is all conditional. Today it is though we no longer have any idea of who we are and whose we are. Today we've chosen to worship at the altar of Planned Parenthood, at the altar of DEI, at the altar of sexual impurities. We have chosen pleasure over commitment, and we have chosen to accept a falsehood over truth, because truth is not heard or spoken for fear of vengeance or retaliation. We have chosen today not to look at sin as sin, but choices that need to be affirmed in the name of love. Our strongholds have now become our refuges. We have lost sight of what it means to walk with God, to be understanding in the truth of his word, and we have let come into our homes pornography, blasphemy, vanity, and the power of intolerance towards that which is good. Evil does not pass us by. It is only that there is weaker prey around us, and in time, the same may be said of you or I. We have slumbered for so long that we do not recognize the dangers that are in plain sight. Idolatry for us today is all of these things that will keep us from God, all the things that we choose as entertainment over commitment, anything that we place before God. And so whether we practice openly in public or in the comfort of our homes, idolatry is a grave sin that separates humanity from God, because our call is to worship Him and Him alone. Our idols must come down. Pray that you are not remembered for lip service to God, but that, like Josiah, you are found to have committed your whole heart and your whole soul to the Lord our God, and did all that you were given strength to do in preparing the way for his return, and by warning those with eyes to see and ears to hear of the coming pouring out of his wrath. Heavenly Father, great is your faithfulness, and may it be said of us also that our faith is credited to us. Lord, the days grow short. Rumors of wars swirl about us, but many have forgotten that a war has raged on for generations, for the hearts of men, and many have fallen in battle, never to rise up again. Lord, you are our strength, our refuge, our help in a time of trouble. And if we keep our eyes on you and listen for your voice, that on the day of your calling to come before you, that we may hear the words of our Lord wash over us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, deliver us from evil. Maranatha.